The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah! Let's go, man! Gotta go!
The voice of Mike Williams, after inhaling helium, celebrating the Steelers' victory, walking off the field in Landover, Maryland. Steelers now 7-2. And where do they fit among the elites of the AFC? 412-928-9370. I think if Russ Wilson had been the quarterback from day one, Doran, they're sitting here at 9-0.
Probably.
And you're probably talking about them similarly to the way that the Chiefs are being discussed right now. Now, they don't have Mahomes, and Andy Reid has taken over the mantle as the best coach in football since Belichick's retirement, if you want to call it a retirement. But I think they would be 9-0. You know, the defense had a chance to end the game against Dallas, and they'd be sitting here at 8-1, even with Russ missing a bunch of games early. But if Russ plays in that game, I think you score more than 17 points and you win. I think they would be 9-0. They're averaging 24 points per game right now, and that's with Justin Fields playing six games, and they've been averaging 30.3 points per game with Russell Wilson. I think they're the second-best team in the AFC.
Right now?
Yeah. I can't jump anybody ahead of the Chiefs. And if Baltimore beats Pittsburgh, then okay. Especially if it's since it's at the AC, I think I would be silly not to say Baltimore is better. But right now, as we sit today, yeah, I think the Steelers are the second-best team in the AFC.
If the Chiefs were to lose to the Broncos yesterday, same thing?
Yeah.
Chiefs still number one?
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't put anyone over the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They're flawed. Mm-hmm. They let teams hang around. But part of that, I think, is they know how to win, and they're going for a three-peat, and they don't need to kick everyone's ass to know they're great. They just find ways to win. Not unlike the Steelers have done, but Ty, to me, is always going to go to the team that's got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in that scheme. And their defense is very good.
Yes.
They haven't allowed a fourth-quarter point, the Chiefs, when they've been trailing in the fourth quarter. So when their defense needs to bow up, they do. But I think the Steelers are the second best team because I think they're complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Buffalo's complete too, and Josh Allen is outstanding. I think the Steelers' defense is better than Buffalo's defense. And I know that the Steelers' special teams is better than anybody's special teams. So yeah, I think the Steelers are number two. And Mike Williams plays one game. Preston Smith plays one game. And they have minimal chance to make an impact, but make big impacts anyhow. Those guys are only going to make more impact as this thing goes forward. Yeah, I think the Steelers are the second best team in the AFC.
I think that's a good conversation too. Like with the trade deadline last week, like how big are the impacts for the teams that are in this race? And I think that if you just look at the Chiefs and the Steelers, they have had the biggest impact. I mean, the Chiefs with DeAndre Hopkins, and the Steelers with Mike Williams and Preston Smith. I mean, you look at Buffalo. Amari Cooper's been hurt. He hurt his wrist. He hasn't really played.
Deontay
Johnson
junk.
Hasn't done anything. So If you look at it like that, and what can you get out of, you know, making your moves, that the Steelers would be second.
The other big one real quick, Doran, is Devontae Adams gets traded. But
Devontae Adams, too.
He gets traded to a total dumpster fire. Like,
right.
The Jets are done.
Right.
Like, they should fire the interim done.
Right.
Like, let's just keep firing people. They're done. So he's not going to impact the playoff race at all. And Mike Williams already has. Sorry to cut
No, that was perfect. I just don't know. This game means a lot. This game means more to me than the game yesterday meant to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I feel like this is a very significant, because it's the first game of the division, and that's what it all comes down to. And you're getting the Ravens off of a long week. Like, are they going to get healthy after playing last Thursday? But you've had their number for a while, so it's
Vegas doesn't agree with me.
Right?
Vegas thinks the Ravens are better. Clearly, frankly, leaps and bounds better. I mean, they say home field is worth 3 points. The Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite. You play in a neutral field. The Steelers are what, a 6.5-point dog?
Yeah.
You go to Baltimore. What are the Steelers sitting there at 7 or more? So Vegas thinks that Baltimore is the clearly better football team. I'm not seeing it, and I'm going to view it through this prism. The Chiefs, are they a Super Bowl contender? Duh. Are the Ravens? I can't get there. When they've had great defenses, they haven't won enough playoff games. Now they've got the worst pass defense in the league. They're not winning the Super Bowl. You're not winning the Super Bowl with that pass defense. I think the Steelers can win the Super Bowl. I think they've got enough playmakers on the defensive side. They've got a quarterback who's done it before, who is playing good football. They're well-rounded. Baltimore can't stop a nosebleed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers are perfectly positioned to, when Baltimore comes to town this weekend, I think to put up 30 points on the Ravens. And when have you ever been able to say that?
No.
That's the deciding factor for me. And I watched Houston last night, and they played the best team for my money going right now in Detroit. But the interior of their offensive line is a tire fire, and the other team throws 5 picks and you can't win. I think Houston's going to win that division. I think Houston's fine. But they're not better than the Steelers. I can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's really Buffalo, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh all in that pot. The three best teams in the AFC. I think the Steelers are number two. What say you at 412-928-9370? Do I need a kick in the shin? Do I need to be brought back down to earth? I said I'd be unbearable if the Steelers won. Like that, you have to factor in who they played.
Yes.
That's a good team.
That's what everybody was calling for. Like, they haven't played a good football team. Well, they just did. They just beat a good football team. I don't care if it's by 1 point or 30 points. They just beat a good football team in their place. So you have to give them the credit that they've garnered yesterday. And, yeah, I mean, I don't think you need kicked in the shin. I think it's very close, but I think they're right exactly where you kind of
said. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like if the Steelers went to Buffalo for a playoff game, I'd feel great about it. But I'd feel good. I feel like they can beat the Chiefs. You play your best game, and the Chiefs play their best game, I think you probably lose. But if you play your best game, you can beat anybody in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do happen to get to New Orleans for the Super Bowl, you take your swings at the Lions.
Yes.
You if you're worrying about that, things have gone very well.
Very well.
Do you think that the Steelers are the second-best team in the AFC? 412-928-9370. Let's go to the phones. Ron and Denora. Hi, Ron.
Hello, fellas. Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't think they're in the top five.
Get the hell out of here.
Let me explain why.
I will, yeah.
If a tight end, a veteran tight end, runs the right route, they get a first down. They possibly could still go and beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't.
Should know to go past the sticks. So the Steelers had no control over that.
You
play.
Don't think the Steelers knew where the sticks were?
Yeah, but
that's why they defended it the way they defended it. Because they knew where the sticks were.
How about Zach Ertz missing a pass the series before that, right in his hands?
How about TJ Watt didn't have a sack or a tackle and they still won the game? How about they fumbled the ball at the goal line and they still won the game?
Enough with the ifs. Okay, it's football. The guys are going to drop passes, not run the right routes, and get to the sticks. That's the point of playing football.
Exactly, but Steelers are squeaking by with wins.
What are you talking about? They got one of the best point differentials in the league, Ron.
The good teams are blowing people out.
You mean like they blew out the Jets? You mean like they blew out the Raiders with a backup quarterback?
Wait, did the Chiefs just blow out the Broncos?
No, of course they didn't. No, you know what? You talk to Ron. Ron says, if you don't block the field goal, you lose the game. That's kind of the point.
Right.
Keanu Benton makes a tackle at the end of the game. The guy who wasn't getting utilized at all by Aaron Rodgers comes in cold off the bench as an injury replacement and makes the play of the season for the Steelers. Five teams better than the Steelers in the AFC. The hell out of here. It's absurd.
Which five teams? Like, I mean, you just saw Houston last night.
Okay, no, that's a quality loss, though, Doran, because you lost to the best team in football.
Hmm.
I don't think that Ron represents the majority there. I couldn't imagine if most Steelers fans woke up today thinking they're the fifth best team in the AFC. I just don't think the majority of people feel that way. 7-2, 4-2 with your backup
quarterback.
Probably 9-0 if Russ starts. You're 12th in the league in points scored despite playing with a backup for more than half of your season so far. Your defense is top 5 in the league in points allowed, and in a lot of other statistical categories, very good. You lost the turnover battle yesterday. You fumbled at the goal line. Your best player didn't have a tackle or a sack, and we're supposed to look at this as a negative? 412-928-9370. One more before we go to break. Ryan in Washington, PA. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
The caller before me, I don't know what that is. I can definitely get to top three. I still think Kansas City and Buffalo. I mean, Josh Allen didn't have a great game yesterday from the looks of it, but I still put those offenses ahead of ours. All around teams might be better, but definitely top three consideration. But man, I wish we could get a call for TJ. Man, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think if he could impact the games more, we would definitely see some better results.
You know what, Ryan?
Along that line.
That's a good point too, man. And thank you so much for the call. It's not only, and I hate being this guy, but I'll be this guy because the Steelers won. You can gripe after a win. Not only is he getting a chip on it, 50% of snaps, and there's a tight end over there, and there's slanting protection, and blah blah blah. He does get held all the time.
All the time. The back judge, the stripes, I should say, were standing right there. And you would think that going into a game where you have one of the best players as a pass rusher, and you're standing right there, your peripheral is going to be on that guy, and you're going to see if he's getting held or not. And he got tackled. He got gripped
up. Clear as day.
He got bear hugged. And they were standing right there. Like, how do you not see that?
You just sounded like Mike Williams. You're also in the end zone, so you got to be really on your P's and Q's as an official, because an infraction in the end zone is a safety. If I'm an opposing right tackle from now until the end of time, as long as TJ Watt is in the NFL, I'm holding as much as I can.
Yeah, you're going to get away with it.
You're going to get away with it. This was you just there. You were mad. The voice got high.
Let's go, man. I got the dog.
You got to call the penalty there, man.
Yeah, you just saw it. That's TJ Watt.
But then I heard Mike Williams after the game in his post-game comments, Doran, and he had a deep voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe he was just excited.
He might have been doing a bit, or he was just very excited.
Or he got kicked in the groin. Never know.
They wouldn't have called that either.
Nope.
412-928-9370. Do you agree with Ron that there are five teams in the AFC better than the Steelers, or do you put them with the elites? Can they beat Kansas City? 412-928-9370. The Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We'll take your calls when we come back.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pittsburgh has their two timeouts, so they may take it all the way down here and see if they can jump and get it free for themselves.
And there is a jump! Washington played into their hands! Wilson celebrating. Steelers are going nuts on the sideline.
We'll never know, will we? You know I'm a degenerate.
I love that from Mike Tomlin. Hey, were you going to run a play there? I guess we'll never know.
Never know.
I'm a degenerate. They weren't going to run a play. Are different quarterbacks better at that? Like,
yes.
I feel like Russ is a good hard count guy.
Yeah, think about all back in the day with Elway. Elway was a real good hard. They almost like kind of changed the rules a little bit. But Elway would just, his whole body would move. Hot! Like, you know, you can get guys going. Because you got to keep the same cadence. It can't be something different. So, like, you get used to the cadence if you're a defense of a quarterback, right, throughout the game. And then if they hard count you, it almost sounds exactly the same as what, it's not like something that's like off the wall where it's like, all right, like that doesn't make sense. It's almost the same, but just like deeper, like they're trying to get the ball snapped really quick. And yeah, there are quarterbacks that do that very well.
Is that hard for you if you're on the end of the line as a tight end there to make sure you then don't flinch?
No, I mean, I know that it's hard too.
So you're just, I mean, because you're never moving to begin with.
And my head's kind of tilted in looking at the ball. Like, my peripheral is on the guy that I'm blocking or upfield and what the rotation's doing. And then my other, like, peripheral, like, I can see multiple things. I can see the ball, and I move and the ball snapped.
And so if there's no play, you have no reason even to flinch.
No.
Yeah, because you're not going anywhere.
Right, unless you're just totally not locked in.
Right.
Your mind somewhere else.
Like this Newton guy.
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
Wonder he ever discovered gravity, Doran.
I wonder how loud it was in there at the time.
I was going to bring that up. I mean, we had a caller say it was 25% Commanders fans. Other people texted and said, no, it was about 50-50. That wasn't as loud as it would have been if you were, let's say, in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The crowds, you know, the 50% of people there, I'm sure, are going nuts.
Yes.
But that's not the same level of crowd noise as, like, a legitimate hostile road environment.
Like, the Steelers fans that were there, they probably weren't quiet in that moment for Russ. The offense.
But probably not as loud as Commanders fans would have been,
exactly.
Right?
So probably like a little mix that it probably sounds different that you probably, you're like, all right, what's going on? Wait, what's that? Oh, and then you go.
And I know that they have to be thinking, you know, they're probably believing there's not going to be a play run, but you do have to be prepared in case there is. Because we're only talking about, you know, a yard.
You have to be prepared.
Yeah. I think that was the perfect decision. Like, if they didn't jump, I'm punting there. I saw some other people say, no, you go for it.
No, I'm punting.
I'm punting.
Yeah. Because if you don't get it, I mean, it's how many seconds were left? Well, a minute?
There's a minute, and you're a throwaway or a Jaden Daniels scramble away from a first down and field goal range.
Yep. Punt it.
So you got to punt there. I respect the aggressiveness of Mike Tomlin and the way he talked about his thoughtful aggressiveness in the postgame show. I'm happy it worked out that way because you're punting that thing.
Yep.
And the smart thing is to punt that thing. 412-928-9370. That's the phone number, and you can text us on that number. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can also get in touch with the show on Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. But let's go to the phones and Rob in Chicago. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Veterans Day. Crowley, I'm going to side with you. There's four teams in the AFC to be feared: the Steelers, the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Bills. The rest of them are all just kind of stuck around mediocre. But I was more worried about the Commanders game than I am the Ravens game, because we always seem to find a way to beat the Ravens. But the Chiefs, we can beat them, but the problem is the Chiefs are just getting so many breaks from the refs that you can't, you know, the Steelers can't play their game and touch Mahomes for, you know, for fear of a bad penalty. That's what worries me.
Commanders fans might argue the Steelers got a call at the end of the game. I don't know that I see it that way, but they could argue the same thing. Look, you either win or you lose.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills scare me. Bills are good. Bills are complete. They're top five in the league in defense, and the offense is scoring about 30 points a game. That's a really good football team. I don't want to sell them short.
Right.
But we'll find out about Baltimore on Sunday. Who's better, Steelers or Ravens? Well, let's play a game and see.
Yeah.
But going into it, 32nd ranked pass defense in the NFL, and I think the Steelers are in a prime position to be able to take advantage of that. And I want to see Mike Williams get more folded into the game plan, too, because I think he can be a wide receiver, too. The speed was there.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you just took us to a place where no other shows can take us on the debacle for Newton at the end of the game. That's a hard catch for Mike Williams to make, no?
Oh, I mean, it's a difficult catch for even like a Larry Fitzgerald. Now, I know Larry Fitzgerald used to make those catches all the time routinely, but think about having to go in that situation, not even know the play, not even know where to line up, and knowing that you needed a touchdown there, and then knowing that you beat the guy really off the line of scrimmage, you're going to get some. You're going to create a gap, so you're open. You're open, and you know the ball's coming to you. And to be able to adjust in that moment whenever you're basically cold and haven't really ran a route like that the whole entire game, you probably did in practice maybe a couple times, it makes it even more difficult. And he made a great adjustment. I mean, that right there is the reason why he was a top 10 pick back in the day. Like, I keep going back in the time, like how these things matter, these pedigree things, you know, Super Bowl resume, Mike Tomlin, Russell Wilson, those things matter. The reason why Mike Williams was a top 10 receiver is because of the natural ability to do things like that. It still was difficult, but I don't know if Van Jefferson's going in there off the bench and going in there and making that play.
If Omar Khan doesn't trade for Mike Williams, that ball's getting thrown to Van Jefferson.
Yep.
And they probably lose the football game, I think. A texter, I think, with an astute observation. Can someone talk about the decision to allow Austin Ekeler to return kickoffs instead of just kicking it out of the end zone? Steelers' coverage on kickoffs has been really good all year. And I think they're going to kick it in the field of play a lot. And that's going to happen more as it gets cold just organically. But I think they believe that they're going to stop guys short of the 25, stop them short of the 30. Now, Ekeler was very good. He had a 39-yarder as a long. He had 118 yards on returns and four kicks. Eventually, you probably do want to stop kicking it to that guy.
I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't you just kick it out of the end zone? Why don't you just, you know, kick it to where it's a touchback? I was wondering the same thing, and I didn't have any answers.
Yeah, I think more than not, I would just kick it through the end zone.
Yeah.
Kick it through the end zone, play some defense. I did not think Patterson looked particularly good returning kicks.
He looked a little slow, didn't he?
Yes.
Looked like the age was catching up, or maybe even the reminiscent of the injury. I don't know. He didn't look like he had any explosion.
Yeah, and they were trying to get him around the edge on the third down play prior to Newton jumping off sides. And as the play's developing, I thought, dang, he got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
getting close.
Woo! I feel like he's just not 100% healthy yet. Like if that were Colts game, Cordarrelle Patterson,
yeah,
we're not even talking about jumping off sides. He would have got the first down.
Right.
I think he'll be okay. But I agree. I didn't think he looked like he had that burst.
Well, I mean, Jaylen Warren probably would have been in there if he didn't fumble. He'd have ran that play.
And
he didn't fumble before that, right?
And I'm okay if that was their reasoning.
Probably.
Then I'm okay with that, because that is such a crucial point. And therein lies the running back conversation. Jaylen Warren is a really good player, but he'll put the ball on the ground. And he got hurt. Najee Harris never gets hurt. Did in this game, comes back, and he never fumbles the football. There is a ton of value in that. And you are trying to salt the game away there. You can't give Jaylen Warren the football.
No.
Absolutely not. Let's go to Ezra in Atlanta. Hi, Ezra.
Wake up, Steeler Nation. It's Raven Week. Adam, Doran, it's about depth, and it's about us having the next man up. The fact that Highsmith went down, Preston came in, it's all about depth. It's all about depth.
Thank you, Ezra. Do you think Jeremiah Moon makes the play that Preston Smith did on the 11-yard loss?
No.
Me neither.
Nope.
So both acquisitions, huge plays in this game. One massive play for each, and that's worth a 7th and a 5th round draft pick already. And by the way, anybody the Jets ever want to let go, bring them to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And, you know, there used to be a time like, oh, the Patriots cut a guy. Like, you don't really want the guy the Patriots cut. They know what they're doing. Anybody the Jets don't want, I think I might want, because they have no idea what the hell they're doing over there. All right, 412-928-9370. Steven and others still on hold. We'll get to your calls. Let's talk about officiating a little bit when we come back, not just in the Steelers game, but also in the Pitt game before we take a look around the NFL.
And the holding call on the two-point conversion, that hurt because it would have been a tie situation. It was not. Virginia wins it by a final score of 24-19. And Virginia now has won their 5th and snap a 3-game losing streak.
You know, big football weekend here in the Berg. So Pitt against Virginia, Steelers v. Washington. And anytime there's a big game, we can block off a segment knowing we're going to have to talk about officials. Like, even before the games, we can say, like, day after the Super Bowl, hey, 8:35, let's talk about something stupid the officials did. I think you have reason to gripe, perhaps, if you're a Commanders fan. I think you have reason to gripe if you're a Steelers fan. And I know you have reason to complain if you're a Pitt fan, the way that deal went at the end of the game. I have never seen that, Doran, because usually when the officials aren't ready for play and then the offense snaps the ball, that's a penalty on the offense.
Yes.
And you know who's in charge of the whole thing at the ACC? Our good friend Alberto Riveron.
Yes, he is.
So Pitt got screwed. Virginia got an extra down. Now, I would argue Pitt shouldn't have been in that position. You're a 7-point favorite at home, but, you know, it's tough to win football games. And a lot of times these games come down to the wire, and when you give a team a 5th down, that wound up not just giving points to Virginia, but shaving 4 minutes off the clock. So any Pitt fan that was upset during and after the game, I totally get it. That was a total screw job.
And just the clip from Hillgrove right there, too. I mean, the 2-point conversion and the holding, I mean, it was a trap kind of like play by the tackle. And, you know, I've never seen anything like, or that call of the officials not being ready to go, not being set. Mm-mm. And what Pat Bostic said as well on the broadcast, like, Virginia had time to sub in a whole different package. Like, they brought in a different quarterback to run the quarterback sneak. So you weren't set whenever Virginia was subbing in. And then it's not like they quick snapped it either. They didn't quick snap it. They didn't get to the line and quick snap it and then try the sneak. They went down wide 80. Like, they did the whole cadence. So you're still not set?
Usually the ref is supposed to be backing up and then waves his arm like a windmill.
It's crazy.
And then when that signal happens, then you can play the down. And that never happened. And so it should have been a penalty on Virginia. Now, it's not like Yarnell didn't have a chance to take him down, but it changed the entire ending of that football game.
It did. But at the end of the day, Pitt played like dog, you know what. And that's very disheartening. There was no response to the SMU game. They lost that football game by the penalties that they had, the missed assignments that they had, the drop passes that they had. Like, you should never be in a position where you have to blame officials. Like, a lot of people have always, you know, understood that about football. If you have to go gripe about officials, then you're probably in a spot where you didn't play well. And that's what the Pitt Panthers, they didn't play well at all.
Yeah.
Like, they lost that game by the fundamentals, not because of the officials at the end of the football game. In that play right there.
Yeah,
that's not why.
We've never been the show that's going to make officials the story. Like, you either win or you lose, and you could do the ifs, buts, candy, nuts thing all you want. You can do both at the same time.
Yeah.
You can say they effed up, and they did, mm-hmm. and also Pitt shouldn't have been in that position.
Right.
I think that's the right way to look at it. And I think Washington, the Commanders fans, you lose all right to bitch about the spot on the 4th down and 9. When your guy jumps offsides.
Yes.
You're going to get the ball back if Newton does the fundamental correct thing. You're going to get the ball back. You had another opportunity and you blew it. And that could have gone either way too. Like that to me is not the same as the end of the Virginia game. The end of the Virginia game, refs screwed up. I can see why Commanders fans are annoyed by the spot. I can see why Dan Quinn would be annoyed by the spot. I can also see why they made the call that they did. It did look like there was a football move. He was rearing back to try to then get the first down, Ertz was. And when he starts doing that and he's touched down, well, that's where the play should be spotted. They probably could have spotted it a little bit closer to the sticks and measured it, but I do think ultimately he did come up short.
Yeah, I mean, his knee was down.
Yep.
And he was trying to go backwards, and he was touched. So.
I'm tired of the still shots. Enough still shots. Because all this Grant Paulson guy who does morning or afternoon, whatever, he does radio in D.C. He's got the still shot of the ball making contact with Ertz's hands beyond the sticks. Okay, run the tape. Because the ball hits his hands, but then he's back.
He's going back to the quarterback.
And when he has control of the ball coming back toward the quarterback, he is short of the sticks. Yeah, you can always do the still frame thing.
Yes.
But watch the game. Watch the video. The video is going to tell the story. A snapshot's not. All right, I've said my piece. So officials, yes, they have inserted themselves, and they're not going to be perfect, and there were some holds that went against the Steelers, or that should have been called, particularly on TJ Watt, that weren't, and that's frustrating. I thought the Joey Porter Jr. calls, all of them were solid. I think the team that deserved to win the Steelers game won the Steelers game, is I guess what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the Virginia Pitt game, unfortunately for Pitt fans. The team that deserved to win won the football game. All right, coming up next, let's go around the NFL. A juicy day around the league, and there's some great sound bites we're going to play for you from around the league, too. We'll do that when we come back. All right, going around the NFL, brought to you by Champ Tires, Pittsburgh trusted tire source since 2009. Mark Cavalli going to join us from 9 o'clock until 10. It's the 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Who's the next coach that's going to get fired? My guest, Doug Peterson, and I think he knows it.
What was the play? What was supposed to happen on the final Mac interception if he didn't get hit and throw the pick?
I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out, but we'll look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those corrections.
Don't offend the delicate genius, Doran, the 2-8 coach. We're too dumb to understand, and he might not be wrong, but like time and a place.
Yeah,
2-8.
Yeah, 2-8. And whenever you start taking shots like that, then you know you're out because it's like, hey, I got nothing to lose. I'm never going to see these people ever again.
So, that's right.
Yeah, like I'm never like whatever. Like you're a bleep hole, and I don't care. See ya.
I don't know that I would ever really be firing head coaches during the year because there's danger in that. The interim guy comes in, and you win ball games, and then you feel pressure to hire the interim guy. So I wouldn't fire Doug Peterson tomorrow, but I would absolutely fire his ass after the year.
Yes.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence, year two, they're making the playoffs. He looks like he's on the ascent, and boy, that guy looks like a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yes, he does.
As for, well, wait a second before we get this next clip in there. This is, to me, the most hilarious audio from the weekend, Doran, where Flacco won the Comeback Player of the Year award last year. It should have been DeMar Hamlin, and here's how the conversation went.
We talked to Joe Flacco on Friday about winning the Comeback Player of the Year award last year, and look, we all can agree we think it should have been DeMar Hamlin. In fact, they changed the criteria this year so that it'll be given to someone who shows resilience coming back from injury or illness. But Joe Flacco even said, I should not have won the award. It should have gone to DeMar Hamlin. How about that?
Buddy, that's awesome.
That's good stuff right there.
I got chills just there, and I watched that half a dozen times and was laughing every single time I saw it.
There was another moment yesterday with almost basically the same thing happened last night in last night's game where the coach for the Lions, what was his name?
Dan Campbell.
Campbell, yes. Campbell.
Man Campbell.
Yeah, Man Campbell was doing his, right before the second half interview with the sideline reporter, he was like, yeah. And you know how they're on delay. Like, they get those, like, right before the half starts. And it's on delay, so they're showing him talking to whoever it was. And he's like, all we need to do is get a takeaway. We need to get a takeaway. And they're showing the live game that just started on the other screen, and they get a takeaway.
I love stuff like that.
Literally, simultaneously.
Serendipity. What's the name of this Saints coach? Rizzy.
Riz, yeah.
Something like
that. The Rizzler.
The Rizzler, they're calling him. Well, he says he had a crappy day before that victory over the Atlanta Falcons.
This is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, I get down here to Superdome, I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning, I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clogged the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. And so we listen. I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day.
But they win in one of the best rivalry games in the NFL. The Saints do not like the Falcons and vice versa, and those fan bases hate each other. He would then go on for another about 45 seconds, continuing to make crap puns, and the media stopped laughing at that point.
Yeah, you got guys like Cabali there. He's like, yeah,
I do that every day.
Yeah, clog the toilet all the time.
Imagine, though, first time in the coach's locker room and clog that bad boy up. Finally, the Kansas City Chiefs, they can't lose.
Kick to win it. Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won!
35-yard field goal for the Broncos to win the thing, and it gets blocked.
Unreal.
You can't have a chip shot blocked.
No.
The angle, trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
You usually see the blocks on the longer kicks. They got to drive that thing.
Taylor Swift, she's got a hold. She's making sure that they go back. She's got some type of voodoo power or something. There's something going on there.
They do have pixie dust on them, man.
Something.
Like, we were talking about how the Steelers find ways to win. That team finds different ways to win every week, and I respect them for it. But that one really annoyed me. Because I want the Steelers and Chiefs to be within a game of each other, obviously, on Christmas, and for that game to be all the marbles for the number one seed. Isn't he them to slip up one time? One time. They played bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their defense is good. I mean, their defense is great. But they didn't play. I thought Denver was the better team in that game. But block it up. Block it up, win the game. All right, Mark Caboli going to join us coming up next for a full hour. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here. The Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high is 60.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.